Election Day, it's finally here, and you're in the right place on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are. Barring something unusual, within, 8-10 hours, we will know who the next president of the United States is. It's interesting that we really don't know, that we really are not sure which way this will go, that it could go a landslide in either direction or a super close race in either direction or a contested race that has battled for days. We really don't know. And the polls don't say anything definitive. But either way, God is God. And either way, our work is cut out for us as believers. This is Michael Brown. Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Nancy and I went and voted, 3 hours ago. And there were literally no lines at the polling station. At the precinct there. No lines at the local elementary school. I mean, we walked in. I had planned out maybe a two-hour wait. And we walked in, and there was maybe one person filling things. I mean, there's plenty of empty booths for us to go to. And quite remarkable. They said they had a big rush early in the morning, maybe 125, 150 people lined up. But as of 11 in the morning, when my paperwork was turned in, I think I was number 775 of voting. If you would like to make a last-minute, passionate plea, appeal, on behalf of one candidate, why people need to get out and vote if they weren't planning on voting, get out and vote. If you want to make a passionate appeal for or against a candidate, we'll give you some airtime, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I may amen what you're saying. I may question what you're saying. I may interact with what you're saying, but I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you want to talk to folks that you know are undecided, then by all means, give us a call. But before we get into any of this, I want to read Psalm 46. It's such a chaotic time. It's such an emotional time. I want to read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So let me remind everyone listening, if you are in right relationship with the Lord, if you know the Lord, if God is your Father and you're in right relationship with God, that needs to be your ultimate place of refuge, that you know Him and that you can take refuge in Him regardless of what storms are taking place. If you're in the midst of a hellhole in the Middle East where Muslim factions are raging with each other and Christians are getting slaughtered in the middle, if you're living in the midst of prosperous America, but with the chaos of our current election season, if you're in the midst of turmoil in your own life with sickness and disease attacking your family, still, if you're a child of God in right relationship with Him, be still and know that He is God. Step back and worship the King. He remains the King regardless of tomorrow, if we say President-elect Hillary Clinton or President-elect Donald Trump. God remains King, and our assignment remains the same.
Oh God, It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, we got a
Lady Gaga at a Hillary Clinton rally last night, drumming up support for Mrs. Clinton. It's kind of interesting that you have a lot of prominent rock stars, those type of people, liberal entertainers who are standing strongly with Hillary. And then you've got a lot of well-known Christian leaders who are standing with Trump. Interesting. Tells you something, doesn't it? 866-348-7884. Lady Gaga has been a longtime Hillary supporter. Listen to what else she had to say at the rally yesterday.
And I could never have fathomed that I would experience in my lifetime that a woman would become president of the United States.
Yeah, listen, I would love to vote for a Margaret Thatcher in America. Or if Carly Fiorina had been running as our Republican candidate, and let's say she was running against Tim Kaine or Bernie Sanders, I would have gladly voted for Carly Fiorina. Or if it was a Golda Meir running today, or someone like a Deborah from the Bible. I don't mean so much as far as a warrior, but as far as a strong woman leader. In heartbeat, sure. And listen, I wished that I could have had the privilege of voting for our first black president. I couldn't, because I knew what his policies would be and the detrimental effect he'd have on our nation. And barring a miraculous turnaround in Hillary Clinton's life, she would have a far worse effect on our nation for years to come. 866-348-7884, the number to call. I'm going to open up the phones and give you an opportunity to call in and make a last-minute appeal to undecided voters or those that are thinking of staying back, give you an opportunity. You have to be brief and to the point because of time frames on the radio, but to make an appeal to vote for a candidate or against a candidate or simply to get out and vote. I'm going to give you airtime to do that. Again, the number to call 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones and hear from some of you, let me throw out a perspective for you. Again, I understand the concerns about Donald Trump. I sounded many warnings against him during the Republican primaries. And to be candid, I do best when I'm not listening to him a lot. In other words, when I look at his policies, when I look at the people he surrounded himself with, when I look at those he said he would appoint to the Supreme Court, when I look at potential appointees like perhaps Rudy Giuliani as Attorney General or Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State, then I feel much better about things. When I hear him speak himself and realize, well, that would be the president, then I'm not as enthusiastic, to put it mildly. But ultimately, what overcame my reservations, my many reservations, and I can't tell you what Nancy ultimately decided, but to the last minute, she was wrestling with could she vote for Donald Trump or not. She knew she couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. So this is something we've discussed for months. But ultimately, let me put things like this, okay? Voting has to do with the future of America, all right? It doesn't have to do with the future of the kingdom of God, meaning God's kingdom is going to advance whether America rises or falls. Jesus said he's going to build his church, his messianic congregation, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So ultimately, God's purposes will come to pass. But we can see blessing come on God's people. We can see freedom. We can see America being a bastion of light and strength, helping the rest of the world in many ways, as we have in the past. Of course, we've hurt in certain ways as well. But sending the gospel out around the world and having our freedoms and freedoms for our children and our children's children. So in other words, this is about America, but it intersects with the kingdom of God. All right. We are not voting for church leaders. We are not voting for the direction of the church, but we recognize, for example, that God's blessing will continually be lifted from America as we continue to slaughter the unborn. And someone posted to one of my articles on the stream, and they said Hillary Clinton is a strong Christian, and she lives by what she believes. And I said, no strong Christian supports partial birth abortion. And on my Facebook page and Twitter page, I have a graphic. It's drawn out of what partial birth abortion looks like, and then an actual picture of a baby from the back that's had its brains sucked out. I mean, this is a baby that could perfectly survive outside the womb. All right, so utterly horrific as we look at this. No strong Christian supports partial birth abortion. Sorry, you say I'm a strong Christian, I support it. Then I question the depth of your understanding of God's heart. Does that offend you? I don't apologize if it did offend you. Perhaps you need to be offended and to look at this and to look at what partial birth abortion is and to look at the horror of it and then to say Hillary Clinton supports it up to the last minute of the ninth month and the last day of the last month if supposedly justified. But having said all that, look at it like this. Religious freedoms, they're very important. If we continue to go the way of Barack Obama and now Hillary Clinton, there will be continual restrictions on religious freedoms. I'm not one to be paranoid. You have to understand, I have been talking about the need for a gospel-based moral culture revolution for over 15 years. It has been in my blood. I mean, 17, 18 years, day and night and day and night and day and night. So everything we've talked about for years, we're now living out now. For people who wondered years back, you know, Mike, why are you talking about this all the time? Now you better understand. I was on an online TV show, Hagee Hotline, today, and they were talking about John Hagee's new T-shirts, Righteous Revolution. I'm wearing a sweatshirt, Revolution, that we got probably almost 20 years ago, okay, from an inner-city ministry, and it was based on the ministry of William Booth to the hurting and to the poor, blood and fire, you know, the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, John Hagee talking about we need a political and a moral and a spiritual revolution. It's like, yeah, exactly. I don't mean he got it for me, but yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I've been living with this. If Hillary Clinton's president, all the more the things I've been talking about and preaching and saying for years and years, people will understand. But are we thinking generationally or not? When we talk about religious liberties, when we talk about, hey, a radio show like this, I might be restricted. I mean, savvy media people who are not paranoid, who have been around for decades, have said to me, keep doing what you're doing as long as you're able to. There could well be restrictions. In the second hour today, I realize many of you don't get the second hour on your local radio stations, but you can get it later by going to thelineoffire.org. I'm going to have on a professor in Canada, and there are now nationwide laws that are being enforced and put on college campuses and things like that, that if some guy says to you, I want to be addressed as she, or I want to be called they, or I want you to address me as Z, that you have to do it. And here's a professor saying, no, I'm not going to. And there's an uproar. It's national news. All these things could easily be coming our way. In New York City right now, it's the law. If Joe comes into work today and says, I'm now Jane, still dressed as Joe, still looks like Joe, but says, I want to be identified as Jane. If you don't refer to him as Jane or she, you could be fined up to $250,000. If you're the employer and you say, hey, I'd like at least to see documentation that you're meeting with a psychologist or that you're on hormone therapy or that you've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, you're not even allowed to ask for that. For years now, there's been a leading preschool in Charlotte, maybe several of them, but I know one in particular for years, where teachers were not allowed to address the students as boys and girls because that would be making a gender distinction. They had to call them friends. And now President Obama and the Justice Department are pushing, and there are, 24 states pushing back against this to make it mandatory in all the school systems that you must accept transgender activism. Yes, I care about kids that are confused about these things. Yes, we want to see them helped and whole so their insides agree with their outsides. Yes. And the key to that is to help them from the inside out by God's grace and with compassion and wisdom. But listen. There's pressure from the federal government right now that if you do not comply with the goals of transgender activism, that means that a 15-year-old boy who identifies as a girl plays on the girls' soccer team and shares the girls' locker room and shower stalls, that you could lose federal funding. These things are complete outrages. This is what Hillary Clinton supports. these very things under her mantra, gay rights are human rights. So that means whatever the agenda is, therefore it must be accepted. And if you stand against it, you're standing against fundamental human rights. That's her viewpoint. I understand where she's coming from. I profoundly differ with those goals, as much as I agree that every human being should be treated with respect and under the protection of the law. But we're talking about what will bring blessing to a nation or judgment. We're talking about what will bring freedom to our kids in their own education, their own schools, and what will bring restrictions. We're talking about the shedding of innocent blood. We're talking about things that are very important. So I'm not equating America with the church, but I am saying that the way America goes is of great importance. And really, the way America goes, the world goes. So think about that as you're casting your vote. Yes, Jesus will continue to build his church, but you may be paving the way for real hardship for your kids and grandkids the way you vote today. We'll be right back with your phone calls. Hey, friends, this is Michael Brown. I want to encourage you to join our support team today. Become a torchbearer, one of our regular monthly supporters that enables us to broadcast the Line of Fire around America and around the world. And oh, every month we sow back into you in many, many different ways. Join our team. Become a torchbearer. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Donate.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, America, which way is our country going? Do pray if you have not voted and you're not sure about voting. Give it thought. The election could be very close and your vote could make a difference. Oh, it certainly will make a difference in certain states, in certain locations. Certainly will. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Anthony in Richmond, Virginia. What's on your heart?
Hello, Dr. Brown. I want to plea for Trump here. When I speak to other Christians, there are basically two reasons I hear they won't vote for him. One is that they know Hillary Clinton is awful, but Donald Trump just doesn't represent their values. And also the second one is that they just are going to leave it up to God, and they're just not even going to vote. I want to address both of those points quickly. The first one is if you really feel that way, that Donald Trump, you know Hillary is so bad, but you're not going to vote for Trump because he doesn't represent your Christian values, I think God will understand that you're voting for Trump to keep someone who is far, far worse and destructive out of office. You just don't allow that to happen just because Trump isn't perfect. You have to choose the better. There are two candidates. Choose the better of two, and Trump is obviously the better candidate, even though I agree he's not perfect. Second one is, if you're not going to vote because you're just, you know, I hear this vague appeal to God's going to take care of it or God will put the right person in office, well, you might as well just sit in your house and wait until evil people enslave you, because that is exactly what will happen. You better get out there and prevent these corrupt people from taking this country over, because if you just want to sit around and wait, then I think what we've seen is evil people will do evil things.
Yeah, and here, Anthony, in a democratic republic, it's not a total democracy and just the total number of votes, but in our system, our votes make a difference. Hey, listen. Don't complain about who gets elected if you don't vote, right? Thank you, Anthony, for weighing in. I appreciate it. We go to Frank in Staten Island. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Michael. God bless you. I just want to make a plea for those that are considering for voting for Hillary Clinton. This is from Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. Quote, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does God not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does God not know it who keeps your soul? And will not God render to each man according to his work? You could see similar sentiments along these lines in Proverbs 31. Open your mouth for the dumb and for the rights of all of the sons who are passing away. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Now, Once you go into that booth and pull that lever, you can't take that vote back. And I believe if you vote for somebody like Clinton, on the day of judgment, you're going to have to give an account for that vote. Because God is going to say to you, why didn't you do something to try to stop this instead of fostering it? And this is the way I feel, Michael. It's biblical. Abortion, make no mistake, is the ultimate form of contraception. This is one of the reasons why contraception is such an evil practice. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't say to them,
hey, Frank, tell you what, this is a totally fair subject to discuss another day, contraception in general and why Catholics stand against it. Totally fair, 100% fair and relevant, but let's not lose the force of what you spoke first about abortion and the scriptures you raised, and I want to get to other callers as well. All right, we'll discuss contraception another day, but those verses from Proverbs 24, Proverbs 31, yes, look at, just look at the most graphic thing. Go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, and look at the picture there of partial birth abortion. If you vote for Hillary Clinton, you're voting for that, okay? You're voting for that. If you vote for Donald Trump, you're voting against that. And if that's the only thing in the world and everything else was murky, I'm voting in that direction just based on that. We go to Alexandria, also in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. I guess I was calling in. I did vote today, and it was probably one of the hardest things that I've done in my life. I think I can understand why the book of Samuel, why the Israelites demanded a leader, and Samuel did not want to appoint a leader. And God told Samuel, he said, don't worry, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. And I've never seen such a great division in the Christian community as this time. And it's almost like, do I cut off my hand or do I cut off my foot? And it's very difficult because here's this one candidate who is completely verbally shown that he has animosity towards a race, your brothers, your sisters. And then here's this other candidate who's pro-killing babies. And I guess my question is during the Republican, every time there's been a Republican president, whether it's been 4 years or 8 years, and I'm not a politician, so I don't know much about this, but hasn't abortions been legal anyways? What has this country come to?
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
We are trying to find help for what the Christian community needs to be doing.
Yeah, so let me just jump in. Christians are active around the country, and they're pro-life pregnancy centers. They're Christians in front of abortion clinics, and we seek to work against these evil laws and Roe v. Wade, which, of course, was based on a complete lie anyway. The whole case was based on a lie, and Norma McCovey, who was the Roe and Roe v. Wade, subsequently got born again and deeply regretted her role in that. And ultimately, if one-tenth of the born-again church in America was regularly involved in pro-life ministry, abortions on demand would basically be shut down all over America in massive numbers, and there'd be much more hope and life for women. But Alexandria, here's the issue. And by the way, Donald Trump's been accused of racism. You could accuse Hillary Clinton of racism. And there are plenty of Hispanics and blacks and other minorities voting for Donald Trump. So let's put the racist charge aside, although I understand the objections to his candidacy. But if we were consistent in electing conservative presidents, if we didn't go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, then what would happen would be we'd have enough pro-life justices that we could overturn Roe v. Wade. That's the whole thing we've got to remember. And this is Hillary Clinton's own mouth, the speech last year. Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. And that she's talking about specifically abortion there. No, you're not going to change my deep-seated religious beliefs there, Mrs. Clinton, even if you're the president. Even if we go to jail for it, you're not going to change our beliefs, but I'm not going to vote to empower you to be the president. All right, friends, go to thelineoffire.org. We've got 90 minutes more broadcasting. For those of you signing out, catch the rest of the show right there at thelineoffire.org. Make sure you check out our resources, our free resources, and our resource offer this week.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I want you to hear this. This is a 1980s ad and a public service announcement against marijuana. All right. And now, legalized marijuana is being voted on in quite a few states in America. It's already been legalized in some states. But let's listen to this anti-marijuana public service announcement from the 1980s.
Marijuana can mess you up.
Right. We've been getting high for what, 15 years? Nothing's ever happened. Did I get into all the drugs and start mugging people? Nah, didn't do anything. In fact, I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Eddie, did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
According to Hillary Clinton, this is a campaign event, Ohio, August 27th, 2015. Now, extreme views about women. We expect that from some of the terrorist groups. We expect that from people who don't want to live in the modern world, but it's a little hard to take from Republicans who want to be the president of the United States. Those extreme views about women include the desire to overturn Roe v. Wade. Those of us who are pro-life are likened to terrorist groups or terrorists by Hillary Clinton. Yeah, there are a lot of things I wish Donald Trump didn't say. And if he didn't, he could be way ahead in the polls right now. In fact, Nancy and I were talking about things, and she was saying if he could just have the self-control to keep his mouth shut in certain circumstances, he would be way ahead. And I said, you know what it's like? It's like you got a bunch of kids in the room. Maybe you got, you know, four little kids, and you say, okay, whoever can be quiet for 1 minute gets a lollipop. But she moved. No, he said, that's almost sort of, it's like just if 1 minute you get the lollipop. But we pray. I am not on my face praying for Donald Trump to be president or for Hillary Clinton to be president. I'm praying for God's will to be done. But God's will may be chastisement for America. God's will may be chastisement on the church to wake us up from our slumber and our compromise. And I want to say again, whoever's elected, even though I voted for Donald Trump, whoever's elected, pray just the same way. In other words, if your nightmare scenario is Hillary Clinton elected, pray just the same way if Donald Trump is in, and vice versa. In other words, our hope is in God. We need revival in the church. We need to give ourselves to being the church in the society. We need to give ourselves to going for souls and making a difference, being disciples and making disciples. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Raj in Vienna, Virginia, what do you want to say to undecided voters?
There isn't much I could add to the beautiful ways in which you and the previous callers have expressed themselves, but addressing those who have not yet made up their mind or are apathetic towards it, I was reminded of, and this was brought home to me very pointedly, a candidate for the United States Senate, Kathy Shalega, was in a debate which was broadcast with Chris Van Hollen, and they brought out the contrast. She is standing for all the principles we've just espoused. She is a believer, has expressed that clearly, and he said everything to deride those things. And he spoke in praise of Planned Parenthood and NARAL and all those other things. And then he spoke volumes about Hillary Clinton's choice as a running mate to McCain.
Yes.
And when that was done, the rejoinder was so good. The choice of leadership. Who has the capability to choose? And I believe that Donald Trump has chosen wisely. For his vice president has chosen wisely about what he's going to do on the Supreme Court. And so we should not be apathetic.
Yes, yes. Well said. We're out of time. Well said, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hillary Clinton's only allegiance is to herself, her donors, and her special interests. My only special interest is to you. Believe me, is to you. That's why I'm doing this.
The words of Donald Trump. Here's my own take. His candidacy may have been a lot about him at the start, and certainly his ego is clearly seen, and certainly the idea of him being president must appeal to his ego as well. But either from the beginning or along the way, I do believe that he became more concerned about America and felt that things were wrong and that he could change them. And I would hope anyone running for president feels a certain way. I believe Hillary Clinton is more of a power thing than an ego thing. She has things she believes are best for America. I say many of them are utterly destructive for America. 866-348-7884. So we had to cut off our friend Raj right before the break. But what he was saying, which was an excellent point, is look at who Donald Trump has selected. Vice President Mike Pence, this list of Supreme Court justices with the help of the Heritage Foundation, possible appointees, Attorney General Rudy Giuliani, Secretary of State Newt Gingrich. In other words, whatever clear flaws he has and lack of expertise and lack of knowledge, yeah, he may say things that are stupid, but I would think from what we could see thus far, when it would come to decision making, he'd be surrounded with wise people or appoint good people to do certain jobs. That, to me, is a positive, despite his own shortcomings. 866-348-7884. We're opening the phone lines to give you an opportunity to make a plea to undecided voters, to make a plea to vote for or against a candidate. You have to be concise and to the point because we have a lot of folks that want to weigh in. We go to Josephine in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, yes, hi. I'm just trying to make a last appeal to the voters. I'm a Syrian Christian. I came here when I was very young. I'm in a blue state. I feel torn as well as other voters during this election. But I can tell you, I'm going to ask people that are on the fence right now about who to vote for. I'd like you to think back to when you first found out that Hillary was going to run or was running for president. Just think back to your thoughts and what your immediate reaction was. I wasn't excited about that. I was like rolling my eyes thinking, oh no, Hillary's running again. And that hasn't changed for me. And usually your first instincts are your right instincts. They're the true instincts. Now, along came Trump. He looks terrible. He has a bunch of blunders. And, you know, couple that with the media making him look even worse than what he really is. I mean, just the fact that they showed all the crowd yesterday at the rally for her, and all the rallies that he has, they haven't even showed the crowd. I know that the media is biased. I know it's an uphill battle, okay? I also know and feel in my heart Hillary isn't who she portrays to be. She's not. Now,
yeah, and tell you what, Josephine, just in fairness to others, I've been cutting everyone off about the same amount of time. But your point, again, I want to emphasize as well, some I'm interacting with, some I'm not. Someone said to me today what would ultimately determine how they were going to vote. They were undecided about how they were going to vote. And someone said this to me today. They said, I thought of how I'd feel waking up tomorrow morning with Hillary Clinton as president. And I didn't like that. Absolutely did not like that. Didn't feel right about that. Therefore, to vote against it, I voted for Donald Trump. And Josephine, remember, Hillary Clinton said the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. Of course, she got criticized by pro-abortion groups because they said it's not a person. It's not a person. But these are her views. And yeah, I think her real values are even worse, more extreme than what's been expressed. But all we need to know is what's been expressed. And therefore, I urge everyone not to vote for her or to vote against her. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Cassandra in Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I wanted to encourage other people who haven't decided to vote yet for Trump. Don't see it as you're voting for, you know, your the perfect person for president. So there is no such perfect person. And because also we have this notion where a president is going to be your moral. No, you need to be the moral value for yourself before God, not the person standing, you know, at the White House. That person will be accountable for themselves. Because I remember when Hillary was running for president last year, and they were about to have the LGBTQ or whatever for the bathroom gender thing, and they stopped the NAACP stopped a game in North Carolina because Carolina was not allowing for them to vote for gender bathrooms. So can you imagine, like, if we have Hillary and they can tell us that, you know, and they, all these big events got stopped because that we have youth that is, you know, that is not proper to what they want.
Yeah, and yeah, again, I'm just jumping in here as I have with others. Friends, let's just understand. Donald Trump does want LGBT individuals protected. He doesn't want to let a Muslim terrorist in who's going to try to kill them. He wants them protected in the same way I want them protected. But I don't agree with gay activism in any way. He actually said that he would appoint justices who would overturn the same-sex marriage ruling. Now, whether it's feasible or not, I'm just saying that's what he said. And Hillary Clinton supports forcing the Little Sisters of the Poor, who've taken care of the elderly since, and the elderly poor since 1839, to pay for contraceptives. Okay, so obviously not for the elderly, but just as part of what they do, that they'd be forced to under what's called Obamacare. All right, and she supports this. The Supreme Court thankfully ruled against it, but she's in favor of this, forcing religious groups and organizations to do things contrary to their core beliefs. She's on record as saying it. And Donald Trump said this is a hostility to religious liberty. You'll never see in a Trump administration, I will defend your religious liberties and the right to fully and freely practice your religion as individuals, business owners, and academic institutions. He has said that, and I do believe it because of the people around him. No, I don't think he understands a lot of the issues, and to him saying we're going to get Christ back in Christmas is a big thing. I mean, that's about the least of my concerns, okay? But he has enough evangelicals and people of conservative faith close to him that it is important to him to stand for these things, whereas Hillary Clinton, according to her liberal faith, needs to stand against these things that are core values to us. 866-348-7884. We have an anonymous caller. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for your program. I'm just grateful for all your work and commitment and all you do. Are you there? Am I on?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Yeah, so the reason I'm calling, I'm a veteran. And when you were talking yesterday about what was going on with the classified information case with a service member and how they were indicted and are going to be serving some prison time, but there was a double standard applied to Hillary.
Massive double standard. Massive.
Yeah. So the reason I'm calling, it really, when I heard that, I can't tell you, I'm taking a break from work. I'll have to make up this extra time. Usually I wouldn't take the time to call. And I'm, in addition to that, I'm probably more like Nancy, you know, I'll just stay off the air and listen.
Yeah.
But when I heard that, I immediately thought of someone I served with that's no longer here because they gave their life to serve. And to be honest, after that, I thought of other people. It's not just one. I can count them. Now, this guy, his desk, when we weren't deployed, was about 15 feet from mine. So what I can tell you is it's a betrayal. That kind of decision is a betrayal to our veterans, betrayal to me. It's a betrayal. You know, if I weren't a civilian right now, I wouldn't make this call. That's how serious I took my commitment to serve. Mm. But the other thing, too, was I handled, as part of my job, massive amounts of classified information. And I signed a document that I agreed to that was very stern and gave very clear warnings about what would happen to me if I was not faithful with that. And I'm sure Hillary Clinton is aware of those types of documents as well. That double standard is not only totally unacceptable, but my plea would be for people not to vote for Hillary Clinton. My plea would be even as strong as to say it's inappropriate for her to actually be on the ballot today, for me to see her name on a ballot.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate for her to have her freedoms when such a decision, double standard, is applied. And basically, it's a national statement to people like myself and, you know, my coworker who's no longer here, who gave his life.
Yeah.
It's a statement that our lives don't matter. It's a statement that if you're privileged and wealthy and you have an office and you fly in a plane and you share the comforts of your family at the end of the day and your friends, that matters. And don't worry, those documents that you agree to don't matter when it comes down to it. We'll get you out. We'll give you a free pass. But everyone else, we're going to hold you accountable and you're going to do jail time. And it's offensive. It's disgusting. And that's my plea.
Thank you, sir. Well said. We gave that call a little extra time. I trust you understand why.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. You know, what seems to be increasingly clear as well from WikiLeaks is the collusion, the apparent collusion between CNN and the Clinton campaign. We're not just talking about similar goals, similar values. That we knew. That's not a surprise. Just like we would know that some of the key people at Fox would be closer to Donald Trump's views or goals or any other Republican candidate. But collusion, working together before debates or with news releases or things like that, that's collusion. And some of the things, if in fact, from all the evidence, it seems clear that questions were fed to the Clinton campaign before debates or town hall meetings and things like that directly from someone within CNN. It's already cost Donna Brazile her job. Then that now breaks a law, from what I understand. This is what we're dealing with. A lot of people voting for Donald Trump are voting against corruption. That's their vote. They're voting against what they believe is corruption and extreme media bias. And this is their way of raising their voices. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Don in Kingston, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to be voting for Donald Trump. That was my first hands down. But just in the past week, I've heard about this guy named Evan McMullen, and I guess his tactic, he's a third-party candidate, I believe he's independent, and his tactic is with that if he gets enough votes or he gets enough popularity over Donald Trump, the idea is that he has a chance because I guess you need at least 270 electoral votes.
Yeah, it's not a chance. There's no possible way, sir, with all respect, and I appreciate you asking. The theory is you have to win one state. And then if you win one state and between the other candidates, neither one gets the 270 votes, then the House of Representatives then picks the candidate. They're not going to pick Evan McMullen. It's a trillion to one. It's not going to happen. So in that sense, a vote for Evan McMullen is the same as not voting, with all respect to who he is as an individual. So, you know, the thought, if he can win Utah or something like that, then he is able to be the one appointed. They're just not going to appoint him. The House of Representatives would appoint Donald Trump. They're not going to appoint Hillary Clinton. They're certainly not going to appoint Evan McMullen. And there would probably be a national revolution over that. So it's a great question to ask, but 100% wasted vote. And in that respect, if you want to vote against Hillary, you have to vote for Trump.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You are very welcome. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. We go to Des Moines, Iowa. Don, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. I thank you for this vehicle in order to express our opinions. And I just tuned in for the first time. And I just want to say that I'm a little confused that people would not know how to vote on the day of voting. But it comes down to it. It's not the candidate that you're voting for. You're voting for the platform, and the Republican Party on their platform is the platform that's going to most resemble God's kingdom. And so I just encourage people, if they're sitting on the fence, I mean, you can't just deal with one issue. There's just a handful of issues, which we don't have time to talk about, but there's a handful of issues. It's going to be for God's kingdom that the Republican Party represents, whereas the Democratic Party, excuse me for being blatant, but I just think they represent evil.
Yeah, look, there are certain policies, Don, where you'd say Democrats seem to have more compassion or more sensitivity to certain social needs and things like that. And I could understand that. But to me, when you say, okay, let's look at God's definition of family and what's important, because we know family, as family goes, the nation goes. We understand that. And healthy families are the number one welfare system of the nation, meaning to keep the nation healthy and strong and kids educated and out of jail and with wholesome families themselves. So as families go, so goes the nation. The Republican platform stands for families as we've always known them and as God intended them. The Democrat platform stands for radical redefinition. God hates the shedding of innocent blood, and life is very important to him. The Republican platform, the strongest pro-life platform since Roe v. Wade. The Democrat platform, radical pro-abortion platform. And again, Hillary Clinton says, and the platform would support this, that up until the last minute before a baby's delivered, that baby that could survive outside the womb, even without special intervention, special medical intervention, just, you know, with food and, you know, with what it needs to live as a baby, that baby has no constitutional rights, according to Hillary Clinton. No constitutional rights. And that's supported by the platform. The platform, when it comes to Israel, the Republican platform, much stronger. And a number of other issues. So, yeah, ultimately, that's what I'm voting for. And I appreciate that, Don. You say, yeah, but whoever the person is, whoever the president is, that person, he himself, she herself, will have great influence. I recognize that. I recognize that. But again, I'm weighing things out as an American citizen. That's what it comes down to. I had certain expectations for a president. Let's say we could have had a Josiah-type figure, a reformer. No, America is not a theocracy. America is not like Israel, a nation chosen out by God and given a law by God as the one chosen nation on the earth. No, we're not. And I would fight against anyone that tried to assert or establish a theocracy where all Americans would be required to hold certain beliefs and would be penalized if they didn't go to church on Sunday, or if they didn't observe a seventh-day Sabbath, or if they, you know, whatever. Or if they didn't believe in Jesus. No. America is founded on certain principles of freedom because of our spiritual and religious beliefs. But that being said, please let's understand this. When we are looking at fundamental platforms and what is right and what is wrong, yeah, if we could have elected someone that would have been more of a moral reformer, in other words, using the presidency as a bully pulpit to talk about family values and the sanctity of life and things like that, and then helping appoint Supreme Court justices that would vote in favor of our Constitution as it was written and intended and things like that, I'd be all for it. But in the absence of the person himself or herself being a moral paragon or standing as an example for the nation, yes, character matters, but where we have perhaps equally weak characters or equally corrupt, let's just say that's what it came down to. We thought that they were equally corrupt characters or equally flawed characters, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. Even if that was your view, then you ask the next question. Well, what do we know about who they would appoint, or what do we know about what decisions they would make, or what do we know about directions that they would want to set for our nation? So that's ultimately how I'm voting. And then with a hope, again, that if Donald Trump continues to leave his door open to godly Christian witnesses, that there would be potential positive change. But I'm not voting based on what I'm hoping for tomorrow. I'm voting based on what I see today. Be equipped by our resources on thelineoffire.org, our videos, articles. They're all there for you. They'll help you. They'll inform you. And check out our special resource offer. My bottom line today, if you don't vote today, you can't complain about the elections tomorrow.
Well, it's election day, and we've got an urgent warning from Canada that you do not want to miss.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Free speech is the mechanism by which we keep our society functioning.
Woo!
Hear, hear.
It's as a consequence of free speech and the ability to speak that people can put their finger on problems, articulate what those problems are, solve them, and come to a consensus.
Woo!
And we risk losing that.
That is University of Toronto Professor Jordan Peterson. Why is he speaking about liberty on the campuses? It's election day here in America, and yet I believe that my guest from Canada can give us a strong warning on this election day. I'm not associating him with any candidate or party in America. We want to talk issues. This is The Line of Fire. You're listening to Michael Brown. These are issues we have talked about for years. These are issues we have warned about for years. And with all respect for the personhood of everyone who identifies as LGBT and as a follower of Jesus, as one who would affirm Jesus died for straight, gay, exactly the same way, I have said for years, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. We have warned about these very things, and you need to hear from Canada today, and then we'll make application in the United States. Professor Peterson, thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Hi, good to talk with you.
Could you please give us the background to what happened in Canada and what has put you now in the middle of this very intense firestorm?
Well, I received some correspondence from a couple of my clients. I'm a clinical psychologist, pointing out I've had a number of people in my clinical practice who'd been, I would say, harassed by politically correct types into a state of mental distress, and a couple of them sent me some material about a month ago. One sent me the decision of the University of Toronto Human Resources and Equity Vice President to make anti-racism and anti-bias training mandatory for the human resources staff. And the other was a notification of a federal bill in Canada called Bill C-16, which purports to add gender identity and gender expression to the list of protected categories under the Canadian Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code, making discrimination on the basis of those two things into hate speech. And I went on to the Ontario Human Rights Commission website to look at the policy documentation surrounding similar legislation that had already been passed at a provincial state equivalent level in Canada. And the more I read, the more the hair stood up on the back of my neck, I would say. So, The first problem is that the legislation is the first law, I would say, that I know of in Canadian history that mandates that a certain type of language must be used. So it's government-mandated language. And so I first saw that as a tremendous imposition on freedom of speech. And the second is that the preferred pronoun issue, which is the right of anyone who has a, let's say, non-standard identity to require of anyone who interacts with them that they use a certain form of address. It could be they as a singular representation or some of the made-up words for non-binary gender types like Z or Zer. There's a whole slew of them.
Yep.
And that really also irritated me and distressed me because I regard those artificially constructed words as language constructed by the left-wing authoritarians, roughly speaking. And I know a lot about left-wing authoritarianism, having studied it for 3 or 4 decades.
I tell you what, I need to jump in. We've got a break. I want to unpack this. Friends, call a friend. Tell them to tune in. What's happening in Canada is happening in America as well.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My real objection to what's happened to American higher education is that it has replaced intellectual humility with dogma. No longer do these people graduate realizing that they know even less than they thought when they started college, and that their whole life, that, you know, everything that happens to them in the next 70 years or however long they're alive is going to be a process of learning even more stuff. And they just, you know, try to go through life consuming as much as possible. They instead graduate now thinking they know how the world works. And that's an incredibly dangerous thing to do, to educate what is now, what, two, almost three generations of kids that they know how the world works. Like, they've got it down. You know, and what this produces is this generation of angry, embittered victims that believe in grievance and victimhood and oppression ideology. And that's all it is. It's just ideology.
That is the voice of Milo Yiannopoulos, himself a conservative gay activist, if you could imagine that. He was in an interview with Canadian Stefan Molyneux in Freedom Domain Radio just yesterday. I'm on the line now with Professor Jordan Peterson of the University of Toronto. Sir, you said that your background is in clinical psychology?
That's right, yeah.
All right, so what do you make of the diagnosis of gender dysphoria and then where we've gone as a culture that if I want to be identified, even though I'm a biological male, as she or they or sir or her majesty, that not only is it etiquette to do it, but you are required to do it. First, the diagnosis of it, and then what's being required of you as a university professor.
Well, the gender dysphoria diagnosis is usually applied to someone who feels uncomfortable with the designation that would be applied to that person as a consequence of their biological sex. So the typical gender dysphoric, maybe the classic case, is a child who, for some reason or other, insists that they're a he if they're born a she, or they're a she if they're born a he. Now, the clinical literature basically suggests that with children who are manifesting that sort of behavior, if they're left alone, roughly speaking, about 80% of them determine at some point before they reach adulthood that they're gay, but 90% of them settle into their biological gender identity. And so there was a psychiatrist up here named Ken Zucker, Dr.
Yes.
Ken Zucker. He ran
yes.
the dysphoria clinic. Yeah, it's quite a famous case.
Got shut down, didn't he?
Yeah, they shut him down. And I mean, all Ken did. Ken's a pretty apolitical guy. I would say he's just a scientist and a clinician, you know, not politically active in any way. His basic advice was, look, if you have a child that's manifesting gender dysphoria, the best thing to do is just wait and see. Don't bring out the knives and the hormones too soon. But, they shut him down, fired him. He's suing the CAMH, which is a big mental hospital up here, and the Toronto Star, I believe, and also the Varsity newspaper at the University of Toronto, I think, for defamation of character. So, yeah, they're going after the psychiatrist pretty hard, and they're going to go after the evolutionary biologists and the evolutionary psychologists next. It's going to be pretty funny, you know, the people that you're talking to. I know that, generally speaking, evangelical Christians and evolutionary biologists aren't necessarily the best of friends, but
yep.
It looks like pretty soon you guys are going to be in the same boat, so that's a pretty interesting twist of fate.
Yeah, so I want to come to this left-wing authoritarianism in a moment. But,
yep.
Sir, you're a professor and a clinical psychologist. So you meet a biological male, visibly, obviously, a biological male, 20 years old, and now he says that he wants to be identified as she or they. As a clinical psychologist, what would you say to that person just in terms of counsel to them? And then how do you respond professionally when you're required to identify them a certain way?
Well, it would depend on the context. I mean, if it was a casual meeting, my response to that, I thought that through in quite a bit of detail, is that as far as I'm concerned, you have no right to determine what nomenclature I'm forced to use to address you. If you want to interact with me, then I'm going to do that in the manner of my choosing, and I don't see that you have any right to control my language, to mark yourself out as special in any particular manner, especially not if it's compelled. The thing about the legislation, too, is that it's very incoherent. So the legislation basically states explicitly that gender identity, which is your felt sense of being a male or female, is nothing but subjective feeling. And also your gender expression is basically your fashion choices, and it's also a choice. It's a choice that's unmoored from the underlying biology. And so I'm being asked to call someone by... I'm being asked to allow someone to forcefully regulate the speech patterns that I use to address them on the basis of nothing but their subjective choice. And I don't regard that as acceptable. And I don't think it's a matter of courtesy to do it. I think it's a matter of deep discourtesy bordering on tyranny to demand it, especially if it's backed up with legislative force. Now, lawyers up here have been claiming that I'm exaggerating the dangers of this bill, but I can tell you the University of Toronto doesn't seem to agree, because they sent me two letters of warning telling me to stop saying that I won't use preferred pronouns. And I know perfectly well that they did that after consulting their legal teams, looking at my video, deciding that my interpretation of the nature of this legislation is in fact correct, and also noting that as my employer under this legislation, they're as liable for my speech acts as I am. So... And from a clinical perspective, well, that's more complicated. You know, I mean, I deal with people who have identity issues very, very frequently. And basically what I do with people like that is let them talk it out. You know, because if you're deeply confused about your identity, and there's very few, indications of deeper confusion than confusion about gender, you need to articulate yourself. You could think about it as a necessity to rely on your inner logos, if you'd like. You have to articulate yourself over many, many hours, maybe hundreds of hours, in order to talk through what you mean by identity, what function it serves, you know, how you're going to take your place in the world, what problems that's going to cause you, and so forth. So the clinical context would be an entirely different, kettle of fish.
Got it. I've written a bunch of articles on this in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which came out in 2011. I have a chapter called Big Brother is Watching and He Really is Gay. And I cite examples from America, but from Canada with other professors who've gotten in hot water over similar issues or taking exception to, because of their religious beliefs or conservative values, redefining of marriage and things like that. So examples from Canada, England, and Australia, as well as the States. And in certain ways, Canada has been a bit more aggressive in certain of these things, and there may be less pushback because of the nature of the church there. I wrote an article called Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, I Smell the Marks of Trans Activism, and I go through kind of the scorecard of all the different identities that you have to use, theoretically. And I point to earlier this year, a teacher in an Oregon elementary school who identified as trans masculine was awarded $60,000 by her school district because other professors wouldn't refer to her as they. So when you're talking about the authoritarianism, the confusion, and the identity issues, let's just go one step deeper on identity, and then we'll return to your specific case. We've got about 2 minutes before the break here. Don't people have identity issues in many, many other ways, not just with sexuality, that are tied to reality?
Well, that's another of the complicating factors. I mean, one complicating factor, of course, is outright delusions. And they usually fall under the realm of psychotic episodes, very serious forms of mental disorder. But then there are other issues that are more closely aligned with the issue of, say, gender identity or gender dysmorphia, like anorexia. And anorexics, of course, believe that they're fat and that they're aimed very hard at often a state of emaciation that's not commensurate with life. And there are lots of chat rooms online that are pro-anorexia, where the anorexics basically claim that any attempt to treat them psychiatrically or medically is a violation of their fundamental identity. And I think their claim is as valid as the claim of people who... It's as valid as anyone else's claim.
Exactly. What about BI?
The boundary.
Yeah. What about BIID? Right. Body Identity Integrity Disorder. Same thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, and there's also, I don't know if you know about this, your readers will probably, or your listeners will probably be thrilled to hear about other kins.
Yes, of course. Document that as well. Yes, part animal identity, right.
Yeah, well, and non-human, like
non-human.
Elves and yeah. Well, and the thing is if you decide that identity is nothing but subjective choice, which is actually what's written right into this legislation,
yes.
Then as far as I can tell, there are no boundaries whatsoever on what a demanded identity might be. And you see that in the explosion of the number of gender identity categories.
Exactly.
And you probably know that New York City already protects 31 different gender identities.
And $250,000 fine if you don't go along with it. I signed an exit survey poll today, and it had gender, male, female, and then fill in the blank.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You're not only in danger as a student, you're in danger as a member of the faculty too. As a guy at NYU has just been shoved out, you know, because he has the wrong opinions on things. I mean, this is if you have the wrong opinions as a professor at these places, you're at risk.
All right. I'm speaking with Professor Jordan Peterson, that is Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo is an out-and-proud gay man who is militantly anti-gay activist. It's an odd mix, yes, I understand that. But he sees the ideology, he sees where it's going, and what you've got to understand is Professor Peterson is a decades-long professional in clinical psychology, and as a professor at a respected university, and yet he is endangering his professional career, and in certain ways, his reputation and beyond, by taking a stand. So I want to get Professor Peterson's take on what Milo Yiannopoulos said yesterday on Free Domain Radio. And then so we can know exactly what Professor Peterson is facing himself. I want him to explain that to each of your listeners. But let's listen to what Milo had to say, and I want to get Professor Peterson's take on it. Go ahead.
Well, what they ultimately want to do is justify physical violence as a response to ideas. That's, you know, that's what you see happening on college campuses in the protests. That's what you see happening when they ship these violent thugs to Trump rallies. This is people responding physically to ideas, to opinions they don't like. And this is why the left contorts language like it does, saying that students need safe spaces and to protect students' safety, certain speakers shouldn't be on campus or whatever. There's nothing threatening student safety, but the reason they do it is when ordinary people hear the word safety, they're like, oh, well, that's probably reasonable. You know, I mean, who would argue with that? You know, we've got people who've got to be safe, right? But it's actually got nothing to do with safety. It's part of a project designed to break down the barriers between speech and action. And that's a really fundamental distinction. You know, the idea that you can say, do, and think whatever you want, but as soon as you lay a hand on somebody else, then things change, is a pretty fundamental basis of how we all come to understand what's acceptable behavior and what isn't with others, right? And the left wants to be able to hit you for having the wrong opinions, which is why it's trying to muddy those distinctions, saying that my opinions about whatever it is, gays, lesbians, transgender, whatever, justify physical violence. That's the holy grail for them. That's what they want to do. And those are the ways that you can tell that this is all being done on purpose.
Professor Peterson, your take on what Milo said. He's speaking on Canadian radio.
Yeah, well, Milo's a pretty articulate guy. I mean, he's a strange person, right? He's one of those people who really doesn't fit in any category neatly. It's pretty amusing in some sense to watch a flamboyantly gay English intellectual become the darling of Republicans and Christians across the country.
Isn't it?
It's a sign of the times. But Milo is an extraordinarily articulate person. He's very, very bright. And I certainly agree with what he just said. The left is muddying the distinction between idea and act on every level simultaneously. They're basically, you see this in the new policies on sexual harassment that are being drafted in on campuses across the country, and they're coming to your workplace, people, make no mistake about it, that make sexual impropriety in speech essentially equivalent to rape. And so the thing is that it works both ways, and that's what Milo is basically pointing out. Once you admit that a speech act is equivalent to violence, then it's reasonable to use violence in response to a speech act. So, yeah, it's part and parcel of the ideology.
And what are you facing potentially, the most simple, clearly realistic, and the worst case scenario?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the university has told me that if I continue to repeat my insistence that I won't use gender-neutral pronouns, that my my right, let's say, to teach in January, which is when I start teaching again, is definitely in danger. And what I'm doing, according to the Ontario Human Rights Act, is against the law. So I have no idea what the possible outcome is. One possible outcome certainly is that my teaching career at the University of Toronto is certainly in jeopardy.
And how long have you been teaching there?
The university's made it very clear, because I pushed them into a corner a week ago, and I said, look, Jonathan Haidt wrote an article that that universities have to choose between truth and social justice. Quite an influential article. It was only published a week ago. And in Canada, I've been juxtaposing freedom of expression against social justice. And the university is required by its own policies to put freedom of speech ahead of all other concerns fundamentally. So I told them that what they should do is fight on my side if I get nailed and take it all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. And they told me in no uncertain terms that the university would not do that. So I made a video 2 days ago, basically, and released it. I think about 80,000 people have watched it now, reading our interchange and stating that the University of Toronto has decided that when push comes to shove, they're for equity and social justice rather than for freedom of speech. And equity, by the way, for all of you who aren't familiar with the term, equity doesn't mean equality of opportunity.
Of course.
It means equality of outcome. It means equality of outcome.
Yeah, and in point of fact, those calling for tolerance tend to be the most intolerant, and diversity basically means my way or the highway, and being inclusive means exclusive of all other ideas. Sir, we just have about a minute before we're out of time. Why are you taking the stand that you're taking? And I'm sure you've received verbal threats as well.
I am not using the words of left-wing authoritarians. I know what they're like. I studied the Soviet Union for a very long time, and I know how the millions of people who died there died. I know how it started. I know how it progressed. It started with radical equity-based Marxist philosophy. It was transformed into linguistic policy and legislation, and that was immediately transformed into the murderous policies that characterized the Soviet Union. I know Alexander Solzhenitsyn's work very, very well, and there is not a chance that I'm going to speak the language that left-wing authoritarians insist on. There's nothing I would rather do less, and I mean that in the most serious possible way. So if it means my job, that's fine. If it means that they bring me in front of the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal, it's like, let them do what they want. I am not saying those words.
And would you do this? We haven't even said a word about your faith or non-faith. Would you do this simply as someone who is secular, not a religious person, based on the effects on a society?
Well, look, I think the best answer to that, it's kind of a weaselly answer, but I'm going to give it anyways. I just released another video. It's on my website, Jordan Peterson Videos, and your listeners might be interested in it, because I'm a psychologist, but I know a lot about Christianity, and the video I put up has a lot to do and say about Christianity. And I can't answer the question that you're asking in a simple manner. I've studied religions for a very long time, and Christianity in great depth and comparative mythology. And I have 40 hours of lectures on one of my courses online on that topic. And so to distill it into a few sentences is a mistake.
Got it.
It's too complicated. And I wish I could give you a better answer.
The
fundamental elements of Christian belief are accurate.
Got it.
But I think that the Christians are making a big mistake by assuming that the truth that's presented in biblical writings, for example, is equivalent philosophically to scientific truth. Because I think it's a mistake to equate the two. And I think what it does is devalue the religious truth rather than elevate it.
All right, listen, we're going to put on our Facebook page an article. I'm a left winger, and I support Jordan Peterson. Sir, we will pray for you. I appreciate your courage. May your message get out to the world. Stand strong.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hillary Clinton's only allegiance is to herself, her donors, and her special interests. My only special interest is to you. Believe me, is to you. That's why I'm doing this.
I do believe that Hillary Clinton has certain goals and values that she stands for. I do believe that those are important to her, and world power is one of them. I do believe that she has been very corrupt and dishonest in what she has done. And I do believe that Donald Trump has done a lot of what he's done for his name and himself, but that he also does care about the people of America. And I happen to share much of his vision for where we need to go, much more than Hillary Clinton's. And although I would not sign off on every one of his policies and certain things he's said and done certainly concern me, I voted for him today with real seriousness, looking at larger issues, looking at how his decisions would affect liberties in America, would affect children and children's children. Shortly after that, I met a gentleman that's working on a house that we're building, and he was Hispanic, and he mentioned how he will be there later with the rest of his family doing work himself, his three brothers-in-law, and his two uncles. So he leads a company with eight other guys doing roofing. And I wondered, okay, is he an illegal or what? If he was, I would love for him to have a path to citizenship without being deported. So again, I don't agree with every one of Mr. Trump's views, but this much is clear. When I had to make a vote, I voted with seriousness, not for the church, but for the nation and what I believe is best for the nation. And simply the issue of partial birth abortion alone is sufficient. I posted on Twitter and Facebook pictures, drawings, and then a literal picture of what partial birth abortion is like. Hillary Clinton strongly supports it. Donald Trump strongly stands against it. That alone would be enough for me. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome to the line of fire on this election day. I'm on my face praying, God, your will be done for the nation, but with some degree of fear and trembling as to what that actually means. We invited folks to call in yesterday. Many were unable to get through, and want to give another opportunity for some of you to call and give your last minute plea. If you want to speak to undecided voters who haven't voted yet or people who are still debating whether they vote, it can be on either side. I may interact, I may not, but I want to give you opportunity. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Paul, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'll be very pithy. I'm voting for Donald Trump because based on not only what you just mentioned about partial birth abortion and abortion in general, shed blood of the innocent, but also based on the party values of the Republican Party. I just want to remind everyone that there's some of the Republican Party's platform this year is one of the most that's ever been in line with biblical values, and so we need to take that into account when we're voting. And really, the most important thing, I think, out of all of this that we can take away from this as a church is that this is a wake-up call to us. We need to start loving people, loving God, preaching the gospel, making disciples, turning our hearts away from worldly concerns and really focusing on the kingdom of God in this life. So that's my thoughts and my plea to the church.
Yes, sir. And to echo what you've said, ultimately, when I did vote, although I am unaffiliated, I'm independent, I did end up voting for Republican candidates because of certain fundamental values that they hold to Governor McCrory in North Carolina and Donald Trump as president and others in various positions because of certain fundamental values they hold to as reflected in the Republican platform. And again, whoever is elected, whoever becomes our next president, it is a wake-up call for the church. We got to keep our foot on the gas. In fact, we got to put our foot there because some haven't been there at all. Praying for revival, repenting of sin in our own lives, standing for righteousness, helping the poor and the needy, spreading the gospel. Come on, there's still light. We better walk in it.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Amazingly enough, it is Election Day. I posted Psalm 46 on Facebook, told folks to read it on Twitter, which reminds us to be still and know that God is God. He remains God tomorrow as well. Jesus remains Lord. The words of Jesus that he'll build his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Those words remain true. And it remains true that regardless of who is elected, we have our assignment as the people of God to be disciples and make disciples, to love God, to love our neighbor. I would simply say that if Hillary Clinton is elected, our job will have many, many more challenges, and we could watch God's blessing increasingly depart from our nation as we come more and more under judgment. One of our callers referenced yesterday the comfort it gives them to know that people like James Robison have been speaking into the life of Donald Trump. A highly respected Christian leader said to me over the weekend, "Where are the men of God speaking into Donald Trump's life?" When I told him about my friend James Robison, he said, "That is so encouraging to hear." So I'm so glad on this election day, James, one last time to talk before the elections. How are you doing, man, in the midst of all this?
Well, I know I'm a little weary, but I can't put in words adequate to express just how much I love this man and his family, and I never thought that I would be able to say that from being up close and personal for an extended time, 7 months. And just to know that, no way to describe it. My heart's pretty tender right now. I got to be honest with you. I teared up about 10 minutes ago pretty heavy because my wife was showing me a bunch of pictures that came from our son-in-law that was married to our daughter for 22 years, and she went to heaven this coming Christmas about 4 years ago, and we were going into Thanksgiving, and he had bought back the first house they lived in and remodeled it, and he just sent us pictures where he hired a lady to come in and decorate it the way he thought Robin would want it with all her cardinals and so forth, and it was beautiful, and I just looked at it, and I thought, boy, we miss Robin this Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then I thought, she wouldn't come back. She's so happy. And then I thought, I believe she'd be saying, "Dad, tell all the people that are wrapped up in all the things on the earth, please know what God has prepared for us." But the beautiful thing about our daughter is, for 40 years, Michael, all she did is sow seeds of life and love, and her children are a reflection of it. One of them just got married. She didn't get to be there. But the thing about it is, this girl lived as an overseer of the domain, the garden that he gave them. And I got to tell you this, that Christians don't seem to understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we've turned it over to the predators and the beasts of the field. And we've watched it become barren, unproductive ground. We've watched it grown up, as Jeremiah said, with briars and thorns, like a thicket rather than a vineyard. And it just breaks my heart because we've thrown down the hedge that God gave us, and we've turned the oversight of this great earth, which is the Lord's, in which he gave us to oversee, we've turned it over to the children of the world and the children of the liar and the father of lies, and lies prevail in our land. And I just thank God. Can't Christians understand that if all they do is go and sit in church and sing, and they don't pierce the darkness, and they don't make a difference, and they don't care what happens in their neighborhood or their city or their state or their nation, we just go sing? And I say, God, forgive us, please. I'm sorry, Michael, but I think I see the value of things in a way that a lot of people just don't see it. And it breaks my heart because our Father gave us such a beautiful world to oversee, and we've turned it over to the plunderers. While we just sing our choruses, but we don't pierce the darkness. So my heart's overflowing. Maybe it's just because I'm tired, but I don't think so. I think I just see things a little more clearly, perhaps, than some people do. Maybe that's what 73 years on this earth does for you. I don't know. I think getting a glimpse of the Lord does it for you, too, and I see him in all of his glory.
Yeah, absolutely. And James, obviously, America's changed a lot in your lifetime. You're in your early 70s now, and there have been some very positive developments, the end of segregation or radical positive turns in that regard and more equal opportunities for women and various sensitivities that are important in our society. But in so many ways, we have degenerated as a nation. As you sit and reflect now, I'm 61, you're a little over a decade older than me, and you look at our country, obviously we've always had flaws and serious blemishes, but there has been a lot of greatness about America and things God's used in America. Just share your heart, how you feel about our nation on this election day.
Oh, and I think God is showing a greater interest in turning us around, and people with common sense seem to understand more about what needs to be corrected than a lot of people who go to church all the time. We're too busy analyzing, you know, a person that may not walk exactly like the proper church people. And I think it's important to know Jesus did not call his disciples from a visible religious setting or circle. He called hardworking men. Many of them were very rough, and they wouldn't have been the kind you would have called. And yet he called those men and trained them, and it was a slow process even for the greatest teacher. But ultimately they changed the world, and you and I are Christians now because of what they did. We believe because of them. And I just think that what I'm looking at right now is God trying literally to give us an extension on freedom. And it looks like it'll not be the church. I mean, the Christians are the ones who really love God and say, you know what, we're going to say no to these things that are absolutes. When you're taking human life that's so innocent, so helpless, and so precious through the 9 months of a pregnancy, and then when you're redefining marriage, the first institution, and then you are allowing a few people to control the destiny of several hundred million people. Now it actually boils down to one justice can actually control the destiny of a nation for the next, say, 20, 30, or 40 years. And church folks don't even seem to realize that you've got two platforms that the principles in them and the planks are so diametrically opposed, like dark and night and day and midnight and noon. It's just good and evil. It's just plain, and I don't understand it. So I feel like God and people with common sense are trying to do more to turn the nation back than people who go to church all the time. And it breaks my heart because we're just kind of analyzing one another rather than standing up like the family of God. So I'm deeply concerned, but I think the opportunity is now. And if we don't see a turn away from those things we mentioned in a totally rotten platform with very deceptive leadership, if we don't see a turn from that, you know, we better just keep proclaiming the gospel until we win these people. And I'm not going to ever stop just pouring God's love on Donald Trump, because he's never going to be the same. He is never going to not care about the things he saw the American people say they care about. He will never not care. I hope I can say that about church folks, that they will never not care, that they're going to begin to care more than ever.
So we've just got about 2 minutes left, sir. But if let's say Donald Trump started this presidential campaign with concerns for America, but still in his life has revolved around him and his name is everywhere. Let's just say there was a lot of self and narcissism in it. You really feel that as he's gone around the country, as he's met many Americans, as he's spent time with conservative believers and things like that, you really feel that his heart beats deeply for the fate of the country, that he's doing a lot of what he's doing for the good of America?
There is no question the whole family is. You know, I had a wonderful business with Eric over the weekend. The whole family is sold out to trying to see America saved from the destiny that we're headed toward, the horrors of it. And Donald Trump, he's met the American people. And he's met some Christians who were willing to risk, so to speak, their reputation to try to speak into his life. And he knows when he's with me, he's with somebody that just simply doesn't waver. And I don't endorse men or women. I endorse the principles to men and women. And he knew that. And yet he would never, so to speak, take me away from being able to speak into his life. And after speaking firmly to him, firmer than I've ever spoken to a human being, a grown person. And then immediately after the long conversation and prayer, he puts his arms around me, just like Jerry Falwell. I mean, Jerry Falwell used to crush you. It's like a grizzly bear hug. And Donald Trump just hugged me and said, man, you just don't understand how much I love you. Well, why would he say that? Because I just poured truth all over him that every Christian that ever prayed for him said, gosh, I wish he'd hear that. I wish he'd hear it with force and love. Well, he did. And his response was just, thank you. And it just continued for the days and weeks after. So what effect does it have? You know, what did Jesus say? How long do I put up with you guys after he'd poured years into them? How long am I going to put up with this? You know, I don't know. But Jesus never gave up on me. He's still working on me.
Yes,
Michael, he's still got a lot of work to do on this old guy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate your input. And obviously, if Hillary Clinton gave you that open door, you'd be speaking to her just the same. We
know that. I've knocked on that door. I've knocked on it for 35 years.
Yeah.
Really,
so friends,
closer to 40 years.
Yeah, you need to hear this, friends. This is equal opportunity. Preach the gospel to all. I do hope you'll get some rest, and we leave everything in God's hands. It's been a joy to be on this part of the journey with you. Looking forward to post-election journey with you. God bless you, my dear friend.
And we will be walking together, Michael. I love you very much.
Love you, too. Thank you. All right, I've got a few more minutes for my final Election Day thoughts. You don't want to miss them right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen, I have been preaching repentance to the church, to the nation, and first and foremost to myself since I started preaching in 1973. I am not one of those who has these starry-eyed views of America and we've always been perfect in a Christian nation. Not a chance. In fact, I got blasted by somebody today for my article warning about Hillary Clinton and the attack that she would bring on religious liberties if elected. I got blasted by someone who thought I was just a shameless Trump supporter. And listen to this, all right? How much is Lord Cheeto, that's how she, this woman named Sarah referred to him, how much is Lord Cheeto paying you to write such a silly article? What about Lord Don Cheeto war on Muslims, on Hispanics, on blacks, on women, on veterans, on the Pope, and on your stupid self? You are black. Do you think you're exempt from Lord Trump's discrimination? Go sit down or get your dumb blank in the basket of deplorables, as if I was doing this for money on top of it. So here's someone, not only someone listening on radio who didn't know if I was white or black or something else, but someone who read my column wherever, got my picture right by the column and thought I was black. Now, that actually blesses me and flatters me when anyone has ever thought I was black because they didn't see me on TV or they hadn't seen me face to face or on the internet. That blesses me because it means when we talk about sensitive racial issues that I'm not coming across just as some small-minded white American. All right, that's always blessed me. Plus, I've always felt a special solidarity with my black brothers and sisters in the Lord as a Jewish believer. It's just kind of an interesting thing. But I'm aware of the deep problems in American history. If someone identified me as black, then obviously they would think I'd be aware of these things. I'm not starry-eyed like, oh, America. And yet, I absolutely believe that Hillary Clinton could do much damage to America, could hurt us and hinder us, could further divine judgment on it, could further the removal of divine blessing, could make life much more difficult for our kids or grandkids. Please hear me. And this is one who was very critical of Donald Trump through the primaries and who has raised issues about his candidacy as a candidate, and yet who voted for him without hesitation today in a sober way, but without hesitation, feeling I was doing the right thing. And by the way, if you live in North Carolina, just interrupt for one moment, please get out and vote. North Carolina could affect, we don't know, it could be a landslide one way or the other, but North Carolina could actually affect which way the election goes, and by all means, stand up against the bullying and stand with Governor Corey against the bullying of the business world, the bullying of sports associations, the NBA and NCAA and others, the bullying of activists, the bullying of the Obama administration. Stand against bullying and stand with Governor McCrory. And together we'll work to be sure that every human being in this state is treated with fairness. I'm not taking any calls, by the way, so just that's why I'm not giving out the phone number. I did a survey, my final election predictions. What's it going to be, or your final election prediction? 20% said Trump by a landslide, 37% Trump by a close margin, 15% Hillary by a landslide, 28% Hillary by a close margin. So 43% think Hillary will win, 57% Trump. That's significant because only a small percentage of the people following me on Twitter would vote for Hillary. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. But I do know this, that there are things that we do not want to see happen in our country. We do not want a president even more aggressive on abortion. We do not want a president even more aggressive on gay activism and transgender activism to the point that it would directly attack our religious freedoms. We do not want a president who said that a child in the womb right up to the moment of delivery has no constitutional rights. We do not want someone who has been protected by the government against indictment, who should actually be under indictment now from everything I understand from the evidence, and whose foundation is should be under criminal investigation from everything I understand as well. Yes, Donald Trump is extremely flawed, and yes, Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot over and over and over again through the campaigns. Otherwise, he would be way, way ahead. Yes, I understand all that. Yes, I understand the negative influences he could have as a president just by his person. I understand that. But also ask yourself this question. Who did he appoint as a running mate? Fine choice in conservative Christian Governor Mike Pence, a man who seems to be a man of real godly values. A friend of mine called yesterday and said, hey, just want you to know I prayed with Governor Pence. I didn't know if his number still worked, but it says personal cell still worked, and we prayed together. Yes, he did cave in the Religious Freedoms Act in Indiana last year, but I believe he wants to do the right thing, and he does love the Lord, and he does care about life and justice. And you look at that appointment. You look at the justices that Donald Trump had said that he will appoint in the image of Scalia, and how we need more of them on our Supreme Court who will be constitutionalists and not be rewriting it. You want religious liberties. You want your Christian schools to be able to teach what they teach and believe what they believe. You want shows like this to be able to speak candidly and freely. You want university professors to be able to deal with radical left ideology without penalty. Then you better vote for someone that will appoint the right Supreme Court justices. We know for sure who Hillary will appoint and which direction they could set things for the next generation. That means for kids and for grandkids. Friends, look at even the suggested appointees, Rudy Giuliani for Attorney General. Boy, would I rather have that than Loretta Lynch or Attorney General Holder before that, Eric Holder. Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State. I'd much rather have him as Secretary of State than Hillary Clinton and or John Kerry. And by the way, I'm not attacking these other individuals as explicitly evil and these others as explicitly good. I'm simply saying when it comes to the governance of our country, I would rather go in one direction and then continue to pray for the repentance and salvation of Donald Trump. But even assuming that he never repents, that he never gets saved, I believe God could use him more effectively, and it would be a vote also against the corruption and the media collusion. Yes, that divine wrecking ball. But please hear me, please hear me. Whoever's elected, the hour is urgent. Whoever's elected, we must pray and fast with passion. Not because the church is going to go under and the ways of Jesus will fail. No, that will never happen. But things could be much more difficult, much more challenging. There could be real hardship and divine judgment as we go forward. We need to pray urgently, regardless of who's elected. If you voted for Donald Trump, as I did, don't take your foot off the gas in terms of prayer. Pray more. Pray more after the elections than before. Let's get our own house in order. Let's repent of our own sin as followers of Jesus. Let's not point a finger at everybody else. Let's point a finger where it belongs, starting with each of us, where there's sin compromised in our lives, our families, our congregations, our ministries. Let's do what's right before the Lord as we humble ourselves in His sight and then reach out to the lost and love our neighbors ourselves. America can still be transformed. Check out our many resources waiting for you at thelineoffire.org. And my bottom line today, I urge you once more, pray more after the elections than you even pray before. The will of God be done.